about 20% of the population of Malawi's protein requirements. The Australian mining company has been dogged by controversy since they began operation in 2007 in Malawi, the world's 13th poorest country. When Paladin Energy originally built their uranium mine near the lake, their standards were so low that an environmental engineering professor in Melbourne believes that the company would not have gotten approval to operate in Australia. The company has denied responsibility for contaminating the lake.
A small group of roughly 100 women gathered in downtown Cairo today to protest the deaths of 25 activists killed by police last Saturday. This is the fourth anniversary of the 2011 Tahrir Square uprising. Last Saturday, Egyptian police opened fire on the activists who had peacefully gathered, making them the latest victims of harsh military crackdowns on dissent, which have claimed the lives of roughly 1,400 people since President al-Sisi overthrew democratically elected Mohamed Morsi in a military coup. The women protesters today held up pictures of those killed last Saturday and chanted, "Down with military rule," and "The Interior Ministry are thugs," while a police line watched from the other side of the street. Among those shot dead last Saturday was 32-year-old mother and poet Shaima Sabah, whose widely publicized death helped galvanize today's protests.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The American Postal Workers Union is on a crusade to both preserve postal services and to save good middle-class jobs in the process. APWU President Mark Demenstein says the campaign for postal banking would help the Postal Service while providing affordable basic banking services for low-income people who now depend on predatory check cashing and payday lending services that can take as much as 10% of their annual income.
Postal banking campaign should also be seen in the context of the social problem that's out there. The United States Postal Service did a report a year ago. It talked about 68 million adults not having access to the basic banking system and therefore are often forced into the what they call the alternative financial services, what we would call legal loan sharking of payday loans, check cashing places, and so on.
Demenstein says that with a new Congress, Postal Service issues remain the same, so the APWU will have to wait and see what, if anything, the new Congress is willing to do to end the requirement that roughly $5 billion a year be paid to prepay postal worker retiree health care.
The Postal Service needs relief from a congressionally manufactured financial crisis. We need to fend off any attacks on six-day delivery, on slowing down the mail, on closing processing plants. And we need legislation that will help the post office innovate, like providing these kind of enhanced and deeper services.
Demenstein says 200,000 postal jobs have been lost over the past 10 years. The Illinois AFL-CIO says billionaire Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner is going after workers on all fronts. As a candidate, he once proposed cutting the minimum wage. Now he's pushing anti-union defunding measures and attacking unemployment insurance and workers' compensation, as well as prevailing wage and project labor agreements that benefit workers and taxpayers. The AFL-CIO says Rauner is trying to implement a middle-class eradication agenda. Illinois AFL-CIO President Michael T. Kerrigan says Rauner's attacks on workers in the middle class will be vigorously opposed by labor and community allies in Illinois. Teamsters Allegiant Air Pilots have authorized a strike if necessary after 2 years of fruitless efforts to bargain a contract. The Teamsters say Allegiant isn't bargaining in good faith. Captain Greg Undersear is a Teamsters Allegiant pilot. He says pilot salaries and working conditions are below industry par, and even the mechanical safety of the aircraft is an issue at Allegiant.
Some of my pilots are on the road for as long as 19 months with little chance to get home in between their trips. The draconian work rules of the company's penchant for changing them to suit its needs, regardless of the impact on employees, led to a very toxic relationship with the pilots. In my 25 years of experience as an airline pilot, I have not seen this kind of treatment of a professional pilot.
This newscast made possible in part through support from the United Mine Workers of America and from the United Steelworkers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Ethan Martin, Eric Tegedoff, Robin Ryan, and Molly Campbell. The producer is Sam Bowman. Our engineer is Ian Gadbury. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. Special thanks to our friends at laborradio.org. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Sari Gametta.
I'm Robert Barncourt. Coming up tomorrow morning, Friday, on KBOO at 7, it'll be Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting Talk Radio with Ani and Lynn, there will be a variety of topics from an eco-feminist and anarcho-feminist perspective. At 9, on Political Perspectives, host Linda Olsen Osterlund talks with British author and filmmaker Andy Worthington about the news from Guantanamo Bay Prison and the international protest movement against it. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 a.m., on the radio zine, Catherine Mader speaks out on why she was fired from the Oregon Transportation Commission after she voted against the Port of St. Helens application for $2 million to benefit Amber Energy. Thanks to all of you KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not yet a KBOO member, you can become one easily by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And stay tuned now for a live interview conducted by KBOO reporters. Good night, Sarka.
Good night, Robert.
Good night, Ian.
Good night.
More than half a dozen activists from Code Pink tried to arrest former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger for war crimes as today's Senate Armed Services Committee hearing on national security got underway. Arizona Senator John McCain followed the demonstration with admonishments for the protesters and apologies for Kissinger.
Arrest Henry Kissinger for war crimes! Arrest Henry Kissinger for war crimes! Arrest Henry Kissinger for war crimes!
In the name of the people of Chile, in the name of the people of Vietnam, in the name of the people of East Timor, in the name of the
I have never seen anything as disgraceful and outrageous and despicable as the last demonstration that just took place about, you know, you're going to have to shut up or I'm going to have you arrested. If we can't get the Capitol Hill police in here immediately, get out of here, you low-life scum. Henry, I hope you will. Dr. Kissinger, I hope on behalf of all of the members of this committee on both sides of the aisle, in fact, from all of my colleagues, I'd like to apologize for allowing such disgraceful behavior towards a man who has served his country with the greatest distinction.
Madeleine Albright and George Shultz, two other former secretaries of state, also testified before the committee this morning. One of Code Pink's founders spoke with KBOO News for a detailed discussion about the reasons Kissinger should be charged with war crimes. I'm talking with Medea Benjamin, the co-founder of Code Pink, and you, along with Dr. Henry Kissinger, made an appearance at the Senate Armed Services Committee this morning. Can you tell me what transpired?
Well, yes, Henry Kissinger was invited, along with George Shultz and Madeleine Albright, by John McCain, who is the head of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate. They were invited to hearing to talk about America's role in the future. We heard about it a couple of days ago, and we're appalled that people who dragged us into other wars and caused so much death and destruction would be treated as these elder states people to give us advice, particularly Henry Kissinger, who is responsible for so much death and destruction, that we felt we had to be there and be speaking out and telling the truth, which is that Henry Kissinger is a war criminal.
And you attempted a citizen's arrest.
We did. We wrote up a warrant that talked about his activities in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Chile, and East Timor. And we said that democratic societies hold their officials accountable, and we still haven't done that. And we had some handcuffs with us, and we had signs saying Henry Kissinger is a war criminal, take him to The Hague. We had blood on our hands. We got up as soon as he walked into the room and went forward with our signs and our chants of arrest Henry Kissinger for war crimes.
Was anybody arrested?
No, there were two women that they got up on their chairs and they started speaking out. And that's when they got pulled down and held outside. And I think there was a lot of back and forth about whether to arrest them or not. Frankly, we were quite amazed that they didn't get arrested. But I think that John McCain calculated that we would get more publicity if we were arrested. What's so interesting is that because he used that term low-life scum, we've gotten so much publicity. I don't think we would get nearly what we got had John McCain kept his cool.
How would you assess the body of Dr. Kissinger's policy positions? And do you think that they've advanced the nation's interests?
I think that he had and has a very dangerous position of promoting his view of what's good for America, which would tend to be the view of the 1%. If you look at what he did in Chile, for example, when there was a moderate socialist government of Salvador Allende that won a democratic election, Henry Kissinger knew that that was not good for U.S. businesses and so decided to work with the right wing in Chile to, quote, make the economy scream, and then support the coup that overthrew him. And this was good for the interests of a very, very small number of U.S. companies like AT&T, but it was terrible and led to thousands and thousands of people in Chile being disappeared, being tortured, families destroyed. And so that's just one example. I've been to East Timor, and the Timorese knew that it was Henry Kissinger who sat down with the Suharto government in Indonesia and gave the green light and also furnished the weapons for them to invade East Timor. And the East Timorese for decades suffered from that invasion and the ensuing repression that led to the death of one-third of the people on that island. And we're not even talking about where the majority of Henry Kissinger's victims are, and that's in Indochina with his policies of scorched earth in Vietnam and Cambodia, the massive amounts of Agent Orange that were used, the unexploded ordnance that continues to this day to maim people decades afterwards. So he's wrought a lot of death and destruction on people throughout the world and destroyed the reputation of the United States.
Is there a legal body in existence globally with the standing to more objectively evaluate this man's impact on the state of the world?
Well, there is a Spanish judge who did put out an arrest warrant for Henry Kissinger, and I think there are places in Europe that he is afraid to go to because he would be arrested. So there certainly are people, particularly overseas, who would like to see him arrested for war crimes. It took many, many years for Pinochet to finally be arrested and brought back to Chile to stand trial. And so people have been saying to us, oh, well, the man's 91 years old, cut him some slack. We say that justice takes a long time sometimes, and it's not a question of how old Henry Kissinger is. It's a question about accountability, and he should be held accountable. Unfortunately, the international bodies like the International Criminal Court are really for the rulers who are the losers in these battles. It's not the victors who get tried for war crimes, even if they're responsible for war crimes. So unfortunately, we can't count on those international bodies to bring us any justice. If we could, we would have had George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Condoleezza Rice and on for the invasion of Iraq. But as long as the U.S. remains the superpower, that's not going to happen.
What drives the Senate Armed Services Committee to think that Dr. Kissinger has any level of credibility in the wake of the historical level of damage the man has done internationally? How does he continue to exert influence?
That's the question we asked ourselves when we saw the notification that Kissinger was going to be testifying. I mean, you just even wonder, where are these senators like John McCain coming from, that they don't understand what a polarizing figure Henry Kissinger is throughout the world and how bad that looks, to think that Henry Kissinger has some ethical authority to talk about U.S. foreign policy these days. So I think John McCain is certainly out of touch, and many of the other senators who showed up and paid their great respects to Henry Kissinger as this wonderful statesman. It's not like these are young senators who weren't around at the time of Vietnam. Most of them were older white men, and they know very well the legacy of the policies that Henry Kissinger was so complicit in. I think it's just this rewriting of history that we see so much even today in terms of the U.S. involvement in Vietnam, U.S. involvement in Iraq, things like the U.S. involvement in Libya or Yemen, where the results have been so horrendous, but the American people don't know because the media doesn't cover that. So I would say that it's a combination of issues, but certainly someone like John McCain is part of the rewriting of history. And that's evident when he invites Henry Kissinger to the U.S. Senate to testify.
How can folks learn more about your organization's efforts?
They can contact us at codepink.org and sign up for our weekly alerts. We're always giving people things that they can do, either simple things like signing petitions or making calls, and all of those are very important because when we go to these offices of the Congress people, if at the same time